Hey everyone, welcome to Making Designing Holograms. For those of you who don't know what designing holograms is, let me tell you a little bit about it. So, designing holograms is a HoloLens 2 application that we just released on the Microsoft Store that you can get for free right now. And this app actually teaches you design, mixed reality design concepts. That are not necessarily easy to understand if you don't see them. But it teaches you these concepts, it shows you these concepts, and it also allows you to experience them yourself. So, designing holograms came together as a bunch, a collection of knowledge that we have gathered during the last, I would say like 6 years, maybe even more, starting from HoloLens 1 knowledge that designers started putting together. Although this application is for HoloLens 2, all this knowledge has been like bundled up in order to allow developers and designers to accelerate their development process. Because we know how hard it is to design for mixed reality. So we put this together so that you could learn with tips, tricks, recommendations of what to do, what not to do, so that you can make your apps faster without making as many mistakes as we have all made in the past. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Daniel Escudero. I'm the Mixed Reality Academy design lead based here in San Francisco. And I joined Microsoft in the UK, in London, around 4.5 years ago as part of the Mixed Reality Studios, where we would do proof of concepts and prototypes for some customers around Europe. To name a couple, Airbus and Volkswagen were one of the few. And 2 years ago, as a family, we decided to move to San Francisco, and I joined the Mixed Reality Academy. And my role is a bit of a mixed bag of things, but it makes it super entertaining. I actually help and teach developers how to design for mixed reality. I also help, I contribute to the MRTK. And also, I give feedback from developers back into the product so we can actually improve our products and address all of those pain points that you guys might be going through. Like many of you, I used to design mobile apps, coming from a 2D design world and jumping into full-on spatial computing, where everything is now in the world. Apps are not confined to a 2D screen anymore, but they are kind of free and placed in the real world, interacting with real objects, completely different to what I was used to. And this is the most challenging thing about mixed reality development. Designing them can be very hard. As an example, through the last few years, we've done hackathons and workshops with customers, but there's always this ongoing problem. And that problem is design. Customers would say, "I know what the future, I know what features to include and how to get those up and running. It's code. I can follow the docs and the tutorials, but the user experience? No idea. So many features, different input options, different scenarios and physical environments. It's overwhelming." So we decided to correct this, not only by making improvements to the design documentation, but by creating a HoloLens 2 app that would let you experience best practices for mixed reality design. So let me show you exactly what designing holograms is. It's a visual experience that explains mixed reality design concepts and recommendations. It's just you and a virtual teacher taking you through demonstrations of mixed reality design concepts, but from a third-person perspective. And then we let you experience them in your own space. So I want to start first with our development approach. We did it in a very lean way because we didn't know exactly what the final result was going to be. So I want to share a bit of what this development process looks like. So, like in most projects, you have your research phase. In our case, our research was done with customers at workshops and interviews, like one-on-ones, just listening to what their pain points were, where they were struggling, and we would dive deeper into more like follow-up questions in order to really understand what their problems were. In this case, the insights were all around design, like what all the pain points that they had in terms of like how to address user experience, how to design for it, how to take into account different variables so that my application can work in different scenarios. You might have a different approach, of course, for your research, but this is the one that we actually used. And then, of course, once we have our research ready, we start the plan phase. And in this case, we knew what we wanted to teach thanks to the research. So we made a quick draft of the content that we were going to include, and brainstormed around how we would deliver this, how we would show this content. And that's when the feasibility phase comes in, where you need to actually try and figure out if what you have in mind is actually something that you can do, not technically speaking necessarily, but also in terms of like time and budget. Can we actually deliver this feature inside this app or this list of features? And of course, according to that, you will have a certain list of assets, like 3D assets, voice, video, you name it. It could be very many different kinds of assets, but you have to plan out in order for you to actually measure and be able to prioritize your features, of course. So once you have your plan, we start the building process. So we already know what content is going to be inside. So the first thing that we try to do is build the application from start to finish. That means from the minute that the user launches the app to the minute that they finish the content or they are done with their task. So the technique here is basically to build your app as fast as possible. Okay, and this means being super scrappy about the first iteration. And by scrappy, I mean like do not worry unless it's super necessary, of course, but do not worry about like super polished code. We want to make sure that the application makes sense from start to finish. Okay, that the flow makes sense from start to finish. And this, you actually do it by using like gray boxing, which means like just use boxes, spheres, cones, very, very cheap assets inside your app that will allow you to kind of experience it in a very rough form, but you will get a sense of, actually, this does work. This does not make sense here. Actually, this step of the flow has to change, and you can iterate super fast by doing this and not spending huge amounts of money on actually building the first iteration, which might not make sense at all. And while you do this, you'll bump into, and you might have already have this in your plan, but you might have to resolve a few questions about certain tech that you might need to create, or things that you're not sure exactly how you're going to solve them. And for this, I've included the last item on the build phase, which is the prototyping phase. And prototyping doesn't necessarily mean that I'm building a prototype app. No, it means like I'm building a very small part of the application to see if I can answer or resolve this issue with. So a prototype can be about one certain feature to see if it works or if I have to approach it in a different way. And you can have many of these, and these will be in certain parts of your flow, but you have to make sure that those prototypes are made while you start building your main flow. So once you have your first iteration of the entire flow, you should test. And test with not necessarily just your own team, yourself, like teammates, but ideally other people who have not experienced the app, and ideally without giving them many instructions. Like in the real world, you won't be able to give people instructions. So you want them to experience it as if it was a final product. Of course, warning them that, hey, this is a gray box version, like the final assets won't be there, but it will help us understand if we are doing things correctly. And you can test, of course, many different things. So for example, the flow, of course, like is the flow appropriate? Does it make sense? Does the timing work? Do I achieve my task in the most optimized time? And also, does my prototype actually work? Or my few prototypes that I have in my flow, do they actually work? Or could I improve them somehow? So once you test, you reach your initial conclusions of what you should address. You kind of go back to the next step, but it's kind of different. You continue building fast, but as you move forward, you start replacing those gray boxes with real assets. They might not be the last versions or the final polished versions, but still, you need to start replacing them so the next test is closer to what you would actually deliver to a customer. So in this phase, okay, you finish your next iteration, and again, you go back to testing again if the flow still makes sense, if it has improved, if your users can achieve their tasks faster or in a better way or in a more natural way, and continue to iterate over your prototypes, and finally define if that prototype is the one that you want to leave in there. And you continue these two last phases until you decide, or until your budget runs out, or until time runs out. But that way, you can iterate until you reach your hard stop, whatever that hard stop actually means. But this allows you to kind of like focus on different areas. Maybe you're doing some work for a customer, and this can allow them to choose what features to focus on, and what to iterate on, and what to polish on. So if you've tried designing holograms, you might notice that there's this one place which is very characteristic of it, which is what we call the dollhouse. And this is a virtual environment that we use throughout the app. Extremely protagonistic, a very important asset. So we needed to make sure that it would work great and in every single scenario. And this is a dollhouse. It's an 80 by 60 by 40 centimeter miniature room that contains the basic elements that most rooms contain, like walls, lamps, furniture, a table, a TV, a chair, a rug, like kind of like the standard things that you would find in a living room. Think of it as a small demo room to show all sorts of mixed reality things. Before the dollhouse actually came to be this super characteristic part of this application, we thought of this virtual room being one-to-one scale. And we thought it would be amazing because, like, you're looking almost at a real-life teacher seeing everything that they are seeing. But this brought in a couple problems. First of all, like most developers, will run this app in offices or rooms smaller than this demo room that we're showing you right now. So it wouldn't fit. And it's very weird to see a virtual room overlaid over a completely different room that might be in different not only in terms of what furniture you have in there, but the actual scale of it. And it's extremely odd. Also, remember that these displays are additive, meaning that the entire virtual environment will be overlaid over whatever room the user's in. So it can get really confusing with like two tables, maybe double couches, and other messy stuff. And the worst part is that this virtual environment would be heavily constrained by the field of view. Despite the field of view of the HoloLens 2 being fantastic, it's still very different to not be able to see everything at the same time, right? So we tried something different. We tried this mini version, and the result was a fantastic God view of a realistic room where you could see everything that was going on from any angle and all at the same time. What you're seeing here is exactly the same content that I was showing you before, but all together in this miniature version at a 1 to 10 scale. And the part that surprises me most is that testers, as soon as we tried this out, they found it so much more immersive to see the small version that they never toggled back into the 1-to-1 scale. So we decided to actually delete the whole 1-to-1 version and avoid any extra work required to adapt UI and other aspects of the app that need to change according to the mode you're in. So we stuck with the dollhouse at 1-to-10 scale. But creating the best solution isn't necessarily the easiest option, of course. So there were a few challenges we had to face, and I'd like to show you some of those challenges. So one of the challenges was around text, like where do we place titles, different segment titles and descriptions? So we tried different approaches where we would put the title on top of the dollhouse, but this was a problem because most people were like almost sticking their heads inside the dollhouse to see the details, so they would miss the title. Below was okay, that actually works well, but the control panel, we wanted the control panel to be below head height, so it would kind of be in the way, and also it would restrict the length of the title. So we thought, okay, let's see what it looks like if we put it inside the dollhouse. And it looked great. The only problem here is that it might overlap with holograms. And second, we wanted these titles to rotate around the dollhouse whenever, depending on where the user was standing. So the length of the title would become an issue if it was too long. And then we thought, okay, what if we actually make this like a store display where it's on the glass, like on the window? And it worked beautifully. So we put it there. It has a certain offset from the side, but it gives us a ton of length for any title, and also it changes when you rotate. Another thing is like, what about behavior here? So this is the shell behavior. So when you spawn, when you open up an application, this is the launcher for Playground, and as you rotate it, the UI rotates around it in order to always face you. So we apply the same rule. So in the dollhouse, if you rotate the dollhouse, the control panel and the title will actually shift towards you. So it's always facing you, always at hand. So even if you walk around the dollhouse, it will always be facing you, and you don't have to like walk back around to where it was before. One of the most characteristic features of the Designing Holograms app is that we used a mixed reality capture of myself to teach and demonstrate these design concepts. Microsoft has two mixed reality capture studios, one in Redmond in Seattle, and the other one is, luckily enough, in San Francisco, right next to my office. And apart from these two studios, we license the technology to other studios around the world, like Avatar Dimension in Washington, D.C., and Metastage in L.A. Also, Dimension Studios in London, SK Telecom in Seoul, and Volucap in Berlin. So instead of me just chatting about the mixed reality capture studios, let me show you a quick video so you can see what these studios actually do. Here are a few technical specs about the Mixed Reality Capture Studios. The stage, of course, is a limited space, which has a diameter of more or less 8 feet or 2.5 meters in diameter. And height, it's more like 3 meters or like 10 feet. It has between 64 and 106 RGB and IR cameras to actually do the shots. The source resolution is between 4 megapixels and 12 megapixels at a standard frame rate of 30 frames per second. It has 8 high quality directional mics in strategic places, so you can actually record great audio and sound of whatever performance is going on. And the lighting is configurable, so you can have like standard lighting or try and have it fixed from a certain place. In our case, we had a standard lighting because we wanted to have control over the directional light inside the application. So once it's captured, the process generates keyframed meshes with normals and textures, which can be delivered as an OBJ file, as OBJ files and PNG files for further post-production, or ready for playback as an H.264 compressed MP4 file. And you can import these files into Unity, Unreal, Native, or wherever XR. And of course, depending on those, it will run on Windows, iOS, Mac, Android, Magic Leap, and PlayStation VR. And that's me in the studio, not as a visitor anymore, but actually as a performer. So let me show you a couple takes that we did. The Designing Holograms app, you'll notice that different parts of the app contain small holographic clips of me interacting with holograms or scanning the environment. And what you see here are 6 different takes corresponding to those scenes, where I poke a hologram, grab something, explore a hologram, or look at my hands. And these 6 videos that you see here are actually taken from one of the RGB cameras that feed into the system to create the holographic me. And then a couple of days later, this is what the Mixed Reality Capture Studio hands over to you as a developer. It's a special MP4 file that contains video with audio and the embedded meshes. Also, they give you a player to analyze the takes and test the results, like the one that you see here, where you can see the normals, you can see the PNG files, the texture files applied to each frame. And they also give you an engine plugin. In this case, it was Unity. We were building the Designing Holograms app in Unity. So you need a special plugin to actually play back these takes at runtime. I'd like to show you a couple of very cool tricks that you can do with the mixed reality capture technology. And this one is head gaze adjustment. And head gaze adjustment allows you to move a captured person's head, but at runtime, meaning that you could have a capture face towards a user. Or like in this case, we used it to show a panel with surface magnetism, and how the head can so it, how the panel can follow the head gaze. So what you see here in Unity is us moving an empty game object as a target for the head gaze to look at. As we move the target from side to side, the head of the capture follows. That's pretty cool, right? And we used this trick in a bunch of places inside the app, avoiding us from actually having to make new takes, record new captures of me looking at different positions without necessarily knowing where I had to look at. This short video shows 3 tricks we used in many parts of the app. The first one is that we use the mesh from a specific frame to replicate the hand visualization effect. Here we paused the capture playback, used just the hands of that frame, inflated them, and overlaid them to create this hand ripple effect. The second one was animating objects to sync with a capture's movement. It's a really tedious process of animating and keyframing, but the results are great. You can now see a capture interacting with non-captured objects, like this window. And the third trick was blending takes. In this video, there's two moments where we blend different captures, and you can actually see them fade in and out over each other. And before implementing this, there was this horrible cut between all takes, which would actually break the illusion of a holographic video. But using the blending between the two, now the transitions are really nice and smooth. Now, to talk about the UI creative process, I'd like to hand it over to Martin Wettig, an ex-colleague, a talented and fundamental contributor to the Designing Holograms project.
Hello, my name is Martin. I'm a 3D artist and designer in dance team for Designing Holograms. When we started ideating the UI design, besides from transporting information, we also wanted to show some of the magic and the possibilities that holograms have to offer. And simply showing 2D windows and text boxes doesn't feel right in a 3D world and doesn't show much of the possibilities at hand. So right from the beginning, we decided to move away from that and make full use of a holographic 3D space. At first, we started with adding some thickness to the panels and icons in addition to text information. Still, as a user, what I see is a text box. Fancy boxes with images, but we are not quite there yet. We went further by then making use of the MRTK shaders. The MRTK shaders became a really powerful tool, and we made use of its stencil features, some know it as the portal effect, to add negative depth to the panels. That means instead of adding elements in front of a text box, the icons now appear behind a transparent panel. What I see now as a user is something that I just can't replicate anymore in the real world, and this is where holographic magic started to happen. Also, as a user, I don't really like to read. I do that a lot already in the physical world. Obviously, icons work a lot better than simple text does. So in order to provide an even more powerful guidance, I then started creating a set of animated objects and avatars, each of them telling a tiny story about what is being done in the respective scenario and how it's being used. We worked a little more on the icons and used them at first as panels in our main menu. Inside the chapters with the beautiful dollhouse, the free-floating windows didn't really make much sense, but as info panels for design tips attached to the sides, they worked extremely well. Finally, we tried out the mini portals in the app's logo, so we were able to tease some of the topics as well as the visuals at the start. So now, as a user, I get clear guidance and compelling visual storytelling. So, thank you all for listening and have fun creating.
Thank you so much, Martin. I'm sure you've all been in the situation where you're doing a HoloLens demo for someone and you ask them what they're looking at, what they're seeing. And you, using your spatial memory, you try to guide them through what they're experiencing, you know, like pointing at the air and or telling them where to look. Well, we took this principle and flipped it so that you could see what's happening on the headset of the teacher, but not from their point of view, but from a third person's perspective. And this provided an excellent opportunity for us to show things that we had never shown before. Like here, the scene origin based on the head position, or head gaze and dwell for hands-free interaction. A simple press of a button. Using far hand rays for far interaction, a solver with surface magnetism attached to the user's head gaze, the SR mesh, of course, and my favorite, the difference between the field of view and the field of interest. As I mentioned before, designing holograms teaches mixed reality concepts, but it also allows you to try them in your own room. So after some of those explanations, we pause and take you out from the dollhouse and into an interactive moment where you can be hands-on. And these are some examples, like this one showing the details of hand tracking and near interaction. This is head gazing and dwelling for hands-free interaction. Clarifying the hand tracking frame through a mirror moment where you can explore your hands moving into the frame and into the FOV. Or interacting with hand rays and colliding crystals. And showing a simplified heat map based on eye tracking. So what's next? We have lots of content lining up for the next few months. The first thing is that we will be working on hologram behavior, the new chapter that will be launched inside Designing Holograms. And for this chapter, we'll be working really closely with Yoon Park to make sure that we give you the best recommendations, tips and tricks, and help you avoid all the pitfalls that you might encounter while designing your apps. We'll cover topics like world-locked holograms, head-locked ones, body-locked ones, hand-locked or hand menus, billboarding, and so on and so on. We'll also be posting videos of Designing Holograms parts on YouTube, specifically on the HoloLens channel. Actually, this app was intended to do that initially, both being an app and being deployed as videos. So it has built-in camera movement to actually be able to record all of this easily with the voiceover and panning of cameras and fading and all that stuff. For those of you who haven't experienced Designing Holograms, I would definitely recommend getting it from the store on your HoloLens 2, download it, run through it, and help us make this even better. So if you have feature requests or bugs, please let us know. I will share my information on the next slide. And you can easily find it just by searching or inside the HoloLens 2 collection or the new HoloLens 2 developer collection, which gathers a bunch of apps like Surfaces, MRTK, Examples, Hub, Playground, Designing Holograms, and other ones, especially built for developers. And of course, reach out to me. Do not be shy. Let's connect on LinkedIn. Send me an email. If you have any like bugs or features that you'd like to request or actually chapters that you're interested in learning about, please let me know. Okay. I want to thank everyone for listening and hope you enjoyed it. Bye-bye.